during my 45 years of ministry in the pastorate, I frequently preached through the book of the Acts with the intention that the local body to whom I was speaking should compare themselves with the embryonic church that appears in the book of the Acts. God was ministering through the early church. Tonight I'd like to look at the early church. And as we look at the early church, I'd like to look at some of the individuals that made up the church. We hear the expression sometimes, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Who are the theys? That's you and me. We make up the church. We're part of the body of Christ, the family of God that worships in these four walls. Now, let's begin in our thinking, and we'll turn to the Word eventually. But let's begin to think in our, through the book of the Acts. We have the 120 people, including Mary, that were gathered together in the upper room, and the Spirit of God descended upon them, so that the 120 went outside and began to pray and to preach to those that were gathered together on that feastful celebration. And Peter remonstrates with the Agenners, and the Agenners have said, well, these men are drunk with new wine. And Peter says, oh no, this is what has been predicted by the prophet Joel. And Peter lapses into a sermon that the results are the salvation of 3,000 souls. And then we find Peter and John. It's humorous to me when I read this particular passage in John 4. I guess it's 3, where Peter and John go up to the temple to pray. And they meet a man with his cup, jingling his cup. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. Arise and walk. Read the passage sometime. You have the man who was laid at the gate of the temple, lame from his birth, leaping, running, walking, rejoicing in the fact that he's healed. No rehab for him. Didn't need it. But then will you turn with me to Acts 4, 439, or 436 rather. The church is in operation. And they need money. The spirit of fellowship and the spirit of communism with the small c has come upon the church, and there were those who were in need. This comes out in chapter 5, rather in, let's see where we're, yeah, in chapter 6. But preparations are being made to help the widows. and those who had needs. Notice the individual now, not the church, but the individual. Joseph, I'm reading 4:36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. We don't read too much about Barnabas. We read about Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, on the first missionary journey, and we'll deal with that as we get to it. But here's a man, Joseph. And as I was meditating upon this, I guess it was in one of my dreams this afternoon, I thought of a family that I had in my congregation, a family of 6 children. Father and mother named them, and forthwith the father renamed them. They had 2 names. Durrell, Beck, Bill, Ev, Eleanor and Roger. And the father knew them as Boss Beck, Bill, Ray, Tootie, and Boo. I had a name, my brother named me. Don't ask me, I won't tell you. The disciples take this man, Joseph, and because of his attitude toward people, they named him Barnabas, an encourager. I have a question for you. Are you an encourager? Are you an optimist or a pessimist? When you come into the circle of friends, are you a wet blanket as to what's going on? Oh, that won't work. We need more encouragers. We need more Barnabases to encourage each one of us. Life isn't easy. We've got to admit it. And we need to be encouraged. Now, immediately in chapter 5, we come upon Ananias and Sapphira. And they see, I'm reading between the lines now, they see how Barnabas's gift was received by the church. And they get in cahoots with one another. And Sapphira says, we've got that property out there. All we're doing is we're paying taxes on that property. We're never going to build out there. Let's sell it. And Ananias says, good idea. And they sell the property for $5,000. And Ananias finds the elders of the church, and Ananias gives them $4,000. And Peter says, is this the profit you made on the sale? And Ananias says, yes, that's the profit. And Peter, with the spirit of discernment, realizes that Ananias is lying. And you'll notice, let me begin to read in chapter 5, verse 3. Then Peter says, Ananias, How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias falls over dead, stricken by God. Sapphira comes in and she supports the program. And Peter says, the men who carried your husband out are at the door to carry you out. Turn over to chapter 9. Chapter 9 records for us the conversion of Paul, or of Saul, on the way to Damascus. And Saul receives his sight with the touch of Ananias in Damascus. Saul preaches in Damascus to the wonderment of the people there, because he had come down to Damascus to take anyone who was of this way, to take them back and to place them in prison in Jerusalem. But Saul gets out of Damascus by way of a basket over the side wall and returns to Jerusalem. The saints of Jerusalem are a bit leery concerning Saul, the persecutor. The persecutor of the church. And Paul mingles with the people, with the saints of Jerusalem, not really accepted. Not really accepted because of who he was. We have a life to live down. A life to be recognized as one that has been changed. For Saul is changed, and eventually even his name is changed to Paul. But I have one encouraging word for you. Turn with me to Acts 9, and we're going to begin to read at verse 23. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. Let's see. We can cut that down a bit. Let's begin there. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple, but Barnabas, but the encourager, noticing that Saul was in a tight place. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Barnabas, the encourager, takes Saul under his wing and says, he's a man of God. He preached in Damascus with power. He's preaching here in Jerusalem with power. But things get so tight in Jerusalem that they send him off to Tarsus. This is where Paul had come from. And then turn with me to chapter 11. I'm beginning to read at verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, you'll recall in chapter 7, Stephen gives his tremendous sermon and then is stoned and Stephen dies. And the church is scattered because in connection with the persecution of Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. A church springs up in Antioch. It comes to the realization of the church in Jerusalem that the Lord is doing something down in Antioch that's unusual. And they designate somebody from their own company, Barnabas, the encourager, to go down to Antioch and look at the situation. Now, who is this man Barnabas? We have further word concerning him. Notice in verse 23, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. You can't be an encourager and be a sarpus. He was glad. And encourage them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Good preacher. He had a good message. The message of encouragement. That's what the Lord led me to preach on today. To encourage our hearts. My heart as well. Notice verse 24. He was a good man. Not good in his own efforts, but good in the grace of God. Full of the Holy Spirit. And faith. And a great number of the people were brought to the Lord. church grew. The church developed. Until Barnabas says, I can't pastor these people. There are too many of them. But I remember that Saul went over to Tarsus. And I need him as my associate pastor. And Barnabas leaves Antioch and goes over to Tarsus and found Saul and brought him back to Antioch. And the word says, for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Here was a church, a vibrant church. Now you remember when I began my message, I said we need to compare the church that we find in the Acts of the Apostles with us. Have you been doing that in your thinking? Are we like the Antiochian church? Let's look at the description of the Antiochian church. First of all, in chapter 21, it was a growing church. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Yes. It was a growing church. We read at the end of, I believe it's chapter 3, that the Lord daily saved those that were believing. And they entered into the church. I'm not thinking of a mega church. I have my questions concerning them. But a church should be growing. We can rationalize our thinking by saying we're growing spiritually. But I think there are enough numbers in the Word of God to say God is interested in numerical growth. He devotes an entire book to numbers. He counts those that were born again when Peter preached. And when Peter preached the second time, there were 2,000 more that were born into the kingdom. The Antiochian church was a growing church. 11:23 says the Antiochian church was a purposeful church. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. They had a purpose for existence. To be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. With a purpose. A mission purpose. A church purpose. What is the mission of the church? To glorify God. 11:26. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of the people. They were instructed. They were instructed in the word of the Lord. They had two good preachers, Barnabas and Saul. For a whole year. Now, we're not told how often they met together. Meeting together to break bread, probably on the Sunday morning. Proclaiming the word of God. Later on in chapter 20 of the book of the Acts, Paul says, I preached the word from door to door. I'm not guilty of any man's blood, for I have faithfully declared the word of the Lord. And this he says as he says goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And then notice verses 29 and 30 of chapter 11. The Antiochian church was a liberal church. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. The year is up, but there's an offering taken before Barnabas and Saul leave for Jerusalem, and they say, here's a love gift. Here's a love gift for our brethren in Jerusalem. Antioch was a liberal church. Money. Money that was given for a specific purpose. Sending their gift